Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. You know the leaves on the trees are falling to the sound of the breezes that blow.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horace with you. And, of course, I hope everybody had a great weekend and enjoyed some good weather and some baseball. And, of course, here we are back to work and, you know, lots of stuff going on. And we're looking to see what the fallout's going to be on Frexit. But, of course, there's so many things going on. And of course, I think if we look back at last week, and we wonder, you know, how the action was, and basically the markets were somewhat flat. You know, you had 2 days up, 3 days down, but the two up days were obviously bigger than the down days, and of course the markets are still far away from making that what we would call the 1% down and over like 100 days now. But I think you're seeing a lot of interesting things happening here. I think you're seeing volatility starting to spike up a little bit, you know, trying to hold some levels. I think there's a lot of reasons to believe that the markets themselves are, you know, a little bit overbought. I think, you know, again, I think we're more in a in bubble-ish territory, and you know, we saw on Friday as the markets are getting ready to sell off a little bit that Mnuchin and Trump talked about whether their tax cut was imminent. But I don't know. I think I believe, and that's already been really priced in. I don't see. To me, that's not a big ordeal here. You know, one of the things I know about markets is that they have a way to price in information well ahead of time. So, if we are going to continue to try to understand that, you know, that markets are very efficient in pricing in data, then, you know, I don't think that was, you know, it might have been a gut reaction, but anybody who's trying to buy based on the information we already know, I think is going to find themselves very unhappy when it comes down to it. Because, again, this is, you know, one of the things we talk about markets. Markets are well ahead of the curve. You know, you have many, many people spending many millions of dollars trying to get the information ahead of time and trying to be in the market. So when we're hearing about this news, in my opinion, we've already priced this in. And if it does or doesn't happen, the markets are going to probably sell off. Obviously, I think they'll sell off much faster if it doesn't happen. But I don't believe that it'll be so quickly not to happen, because I think that the hope will remain, you know. And so that, I think, is where we stand. But, you know, again, when you look at, you know, what's going on just globally and the things that we just continue to ignore, I think that's a bigger issue and a bigger problem to think about. I mean, again, we've talked about this a number of times, but the overall market complacency is ridiculous. All right. The overall, you know, where we stand is kind of silly. You know, when you think about, you know, what's going on in the world, and yet we continue to see people try to push these markets higher, you know, what does that really tell you? It really tells you that the lack of free markets is even more so, because what is everybody still playing? They're still playing now the hope that the Fed will stay involved, that maybe they won't hike rates so quickly, that the free money will still remain. And of course, that really doesn't benefit anybody but the big investors in the market. But I think what you're really seeing here is the big investors are dumping out, and it's being carried by the smaller investors. Now, you know, if you've heard the term, you know, carry a boxer, you know, you can see that. To me, it looks like the markets are being held up artificially And, you know, every time we see a little bit of selling pressure kick in, I think the big guys kind of come in and buy a little bit, but then end up selling anyways. But they're trying to promote the continued where the retail investor gets the rest of their money in so they can get a grab from them once again. And that's, again, of course, why we believe in hedging the portfolio so that we don't have to worry about things like that. But I think that is more realistic. I mean, if you look at the markets and what they've been doing, and again, look, there's nothing wrong with the markets, but when you continue to reward companies for earnings on a lower expectations, all right, for beating, you know, the low bar, that doesn't show real growth, does it? I mean, you know, again, the idea is to see real growth, and I don't think you're seeing that. I think you saw, you know, the bank earnings were just really mediocre. I mean, look what happened with you know, Goldman Sachs, and you know, they've been selling off, and I mean, IBM is now missed for the 20th quarter in a row. No. I think IBM will be fine. IBM's probably a buy here at some point. I think they're going to be. I think they're going to rediscover themselves in the artificial intelligence world. But in the meantime, you know, we've got, you know, the big picture is Facebook continues to fly. Apple holds up. For some reason, Bob is going bananas. But overall, the what we call the market breadth, the underlying factors are not anywhere near as bullish as the market is appearing. So it shows me that there's some things going on underneath the surface that will eventually create the problem. And this, again, is when you drag everybody in and you tell them and show them that the markets can't go down. And of course, you know, just when you thought it was safe to get in the water, you get your leg, you know? And I just think that, you know, again, I'm not telling you that we're going down tomorrow. I'm just saying that, you know, it's better to be cautious. And, you know, the nice thing about it, if you know how to hedge, you can be cautiously aggressive. Okay. You can be fully invested with no worries. And I think that's where we make a mistake. And this is where we have the people talking about, well, move to a safer asset, you know, a different stock. Well, what makes it one better than the other? That one of my issues always comes down to is if I knew when to move and I knew which ones to buy for defense, then wouldn't I just know what the market was doing and never have to worry? And of course, that's impossible, right? We know that can't happen. So it's easier if you're just hedging your portfolio and not having to worry about the dribs and drabs. And, you know, just in case you're interested, there's a new hedging class starting on Thursday this week, Wednesday this week, the 26th. Of May at 6 o'clock Eastern. You can go to BubbaTrading.com and check it out. But I mean, I'm concerned on how we continue to ignore all the problems. I'm concerned that we don't look at the overall debt that we're seeing here. I'm concerned that we've got the debt ceiling coming up, and I'm not concerned about the debt ceiling. I wish they'd shut it down, to be honest with you. I think that the government should be shut down until they can get their ass together. You know, their act is old news already. I mean, I'm tired of this. You know, we're always running out of money. I mean, why don't they live by a budget and then we won't have to worry about running out of money? I mean, you know, can't we do that? You know, and that's the problem. You know, we had this discussion, you know, many times about, you know, well, why do they have to always spend? I mean, they don't need to replace everything. And certainly they should have somebody watching, you know, what they're spending on, because they overpay for everything on top of it as well. And again, there's just so many issues there in swamp land over there. Of course, that's why 5 out of 7 richest counties in the world are right there in Washington, D.C., because, you know, those are the swampers. But in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. I am Todd Bubba Horowitz. And, of course, make sure you download the show every single day. And that's at libertytalk.fm, the only station that you need. And, of course, you can get the Sporting Edge there on the weekends as well. And that's now hosted by Xander. And lastly, but not leastly, my soon-to-be Emmy Award-winning Bubba's Bottom Line is now available for you at BubbaTrading.com. Do yourself a favor. Do me a favor. Go check it out. We're going to stop by here for a break. We'll be right back with Jane King after the break. The Bubba Show. Top Bubba Horowitz coming right back.
Yeah. All right, boys, follow me. Mostly in...
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with the one, the only, the very talented Jane King, Lila Max Media, the Ka-Ching Report, and all about world traveler. Welcome back, Jane King.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, nice to be back. Had a nice little trip through the Carolinas. Went to Hilton Head and Savannah, Georgia. So that was kind of cool. Like, you know, there's some history going on, and supposedly Savannah is a haunted city. So they have all these competing ghost tours, and we went on a ghost tour, and my daughter, my 7-year-old daughter, thought somebody touched her arm. So, you know.
They probably did. It's haunted.
Maybe it
happened. It's haunted. So now that you're out traveling around the South a little bit, you know, what did you see from like an economy standpoint? How does it look down there? What are you seeing? Is they look like they're in good shape? Does it look like there's recovery, or does it look like there's still issues down there?
No, I mean, I thought it looked great. We were in Greensboro, North Carolina, so that's like the furniture capital of the world. And I had a meeting there. I also saw the world's biggest dresser drawers, so that was interesting. It's like the size of a building, but just bustling. And, you know, we were only there about a day and a half, and then we went to Hilton Head, and the Heritage Golf Tournament was going on there, so it was really busy. Very few open storefronts, if any. Restaurants were busy. Uber active. So, you know, South Carolina just, you know, looks like a great planned state. And they just have a lot of interesting economic stuff going on there. I mean, Boeing's got a big presence. BMW has a big presence. So South Carolina was strong. And Savannah, really the same way. You know, and I even remarked, like, Savannah, I think it's a town of about 130,000 people, but it feels much bigger because they just have so much going on. And apparently they had a lot of really bad crime, like in the 60s and 70s, that have recovered. And like almost every storefront was full. And if it wasn't, it looked like there was something moving in. Restaurants, little tea parlors, wine bars, cool, you know, taking these old antebellum buildings and making them into great restaurants, the bed and breakfast. And a lot of really interesting stuff going on in Savannah. So it was a fun trip, interesting to see the South, and the South looks really economically healthy from what I saw.
Well, yeah, and okay, you know, because, you know, we hear different stories, but, you know, if you look at, like, in Illinois, I mean, you know, you could drive for miles and see nothing but boarded up, you know, retail mm-hmm. malls that are no longer in business, and you can see, you know, very little bustling on the streets. Of course, I mean, downtown Chicago is, but, you know, you go to some of the other spaces and there's none. And of course, you know, there's been big talk about, you know, all of the taxes, you know, not at the federal level, but even at the state level. And I guess, you know, you have California, New York, and Illinois is like 1, 2, and 3 of the way they mm-hmm. they steal money from the citizens. And, you know, does that ever change? Is there any way to ever stop that? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, I watched this happen in New York, and I just don't see a huge effort in New York to rein that in. I mean, there's year after year since I've lived here, there's been, you know, more people leave than come in. I mean, New York's just so big and so powerful that I don't think they feel threatened by this. Not yet. That's still the financial capital of the world. But, you know, you're right. I mean, I live downtown New York, and there's tons of empty storefronts. And I think, you know, it's not just the taxes, but it's the regulations in the city, you know, what it takes to, you know, the things that you need to do for a restaurant. I mean, all the food level gradings. And if you want to have any, you know, a shower in a place is like unbelievably difficult to do in New York, to get a shower in some place. And landlords are charging too much. I mean, they're greedy. They think because they're in a hot neighborhood that they can charge a lot. But some of these hot neighborhoods don't have a ton of traffic. I mean, they're not midtown. So, you know, definitely, you know, South Carolina, I mean, Republican, North Carolina kind of goes back and forth, but it's mostly Republican, Georgia Republican. I mean, they understand what it takes to operate small businesses. And there was just some really cool, especially in Savannah, cool, unique small businesses. We went into this place called the Savannah Bee Company, and they had like all these products made from honey. I mean, body lotions and candles, and they had a mead tasting when we were there. It's just, when government gets out of the way, it lets people be creative and innovative, and they're not worrying about every little dollar and following every regulation, and it really leads to a nice, vibrant economic community. So We'll see what happens, but I don't see New York really turning anything around there.
Well, I mean, listen, you know, Illinois, they're like flowing out of here. Like, it'll be a ghost town pretty soon. Maybe it'll be the haunted Savannah pretty soon here. But
yeah,
but we now have we've gone back and forth with the health care and the tax cuts. And of course, now they're like, well, they're back on, they're off, they're on, they're back off. But, the markets have really already priced in that they're on and no matter what happens. And I have a question for you. Why do you think that the politicians just can't put together a solid health care program? It doesn't seem like it's that difficult to me. Now, maybe I'm just a simple
thing. I agree with you. I mean, I think we are in a time, Todd, where people are so strident in their opinions. And there, I mean, some of the, like, the Freedom Group, I can't think of their name right now, that derailed the first healthcare attempt, didn't seem to, like, compromise much on things. And I think you would just have to compromise. I mean, we have to say, okay, here's what we want. Here's a couple of deal breakers. Here's what we'll work on and just get something done. I mean, the public's so tired of this, and the market, I mean, you can tell the market moves depending on which way they think tax reform is going to go. So Steve Mnuchin talking about, hey, maybe it'll happen sooner than expected, and the market soars on that. I mean, nobody seems to care about North Korea and France elections and anything else. It's all about tax reform, and I don't know why they can't figure this out. I mean, it's just, everything is just so polarized these days, and it's really going to hurt this. I mean, it already is hurting the country. It's going to continue to do so.
I mean, I just don't understand, it seems like it's such a simple matter, but they have to make everything a political battle, whereas you could just say, okay, all insurance companies can go to every state. You can all go fight over the business. And then you could actually have a reasonable program. And the only thing that needs to be really done is that the government needs to subsidize the pre-existing condition ones until everybody gets insured. And then there is no, once you get through it the first time, there is no more pre-existing conditions because everybody's now insured automatically. So if you would just do that, I think that would actually just be pretty simple. Am I nuts? Well, I am nuts, but is that
well, no, I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I'm sure, there's another factor in there about, donations to political parties from insurance companies or whoever, that needs to be factored in. But you're right. I mean, it's like, let's take the low-hanging fruit. I mean, just about everybody wants some tax reform. So, let's go through and let's see. We want simplification. Everybody wants it. Let's simplify things. Let's look at this. Let's break it down. Let's figure out what we can all agree on and move that to the side. And then let's tackle some of the difficult stuff. But then they go on vacation. And I kind of felt like maybe they should have stuck around and got some stuff done. But they didn't. And, I agree. It's like they're just, I don't know, there's too many people, too many opinions. Too many people who won't compromise, and we're just stuck. We're like stuck in this rut.
Too many people have too many special interests, and I'm like, this is Bubba's opinion, not Jane King. Too many people stealing too much money, and not sharing it with everybody else, and that is something that has to be rectified and adjusted, because until we get that done, we have a problem. And of course, we never have a problem when we have our friend Jane King on from Lila Max Media and the Kaching Report. Jane, you are always the best. I always appreciate having you on. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Todd. Always great to be with you.
And of course, Jane is, her and I think alike on financial literacy. And, we're both trying to work our angles. And of course, we both do it with our own money. And of course, obviously, I'd at some point like to be able to monetize it a little bit. But in the meantime, I'm trying to help the high schools get programs in. And if you know anybody in your local neighborhood in high school, I mean, the program for the school itself is free, and it's fully online and can be fully managed by the teacher. So we do have the highschoolinvesting.com, and certainly just reach out to me if you have some interest. I'm into educating and want people to have better and more financial literacy. I think this is something that we've kind of dropped the boat on with our children. And I think it's sad that we should really need to work them up and get them back into having a base understanding on how markets and things work. But, you know, in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, and, of course, LibertyTalk.fm is the only place you need to go to get the show every day if you can't make it live. And, of course, I also have this Sporting Edge right now, which is being hosted by Xander in my Bubba's Bottom Line, which is going to be a hit. You can get that at BubbaTrading.com. And while you're there, take a look at our hedging course that starts on Wednesday, the 26th of May. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back with more of The Bubba Show after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. It's time for The Bubba Show expert of technical analysis, Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com. What's up, Matt?
I'm doing well. How about you, Todd?
Well, I'm a little frustrated with the trade in the market. I'm frustrated that, and not that we're not necessarily going down, but I'm frustrated that there really is never a solid down move, which means that there's not much trading. But I think a couple things that I've noticed of interest is that the VIX is holding up lower than it was, you know, during the week. But actually, if I look at it from a charting standpoint, it looks like it's holding up at higher lows, which I think would be indicate that something's going on. And I think there's the way that the market rebounced back off of the Mnuchin and Trump talk of tax cuts. I think that's already priced in. And I think it showed that we've now seen since the March 1st, what I'll call blow off, we've seen lower highs successively almost every week. So although we're not going down fast, we're certainly heading down. What do you see?
Yeah, I'm seeing the same thing. I mean, the so we had the bounce up in volatility, and it's been the way it's been chopping on its way down looks to me like a bullish sort of coil. And when I look at when I'm looking at inverse volatility ETFs, it's the opposite. So it's looking like volatility wants to take another leg higher, which would be, you know, a negative for the markets, obviously. But yeah, they really have not. I mean, we were only down 3% in the S&P from the March 1st high at its low so far. So, you know, I was expecting a bit more than this, and I think we'll still probably get it. So
now, when you look at it, and of course, the Nasdaq had a new all-time closing high, which you've been bullish in Nasdaq almost entirely. And of course, I don't know how much more bullish you were. But you were not a seller of the Nasdaq. You were considering you continue to want to be a seller of the Russell, which both indexes last week performed better than the Dow and the S&P. But the overall patterns, other than the Nasdaq, don't look too good in my view. What about yours?
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, the Nasdaq has had a lot of relative strength, so we've stayed away from shorting it. It did reach a target of ours though, and there's a slightly higher target that would work just as well as where we already hit. QQQ, however, has, you know, gone as far as we needed it to go. It looks ready to sell off, but it has it's been that way for a week or two. As far as the Russell, I think with the Russell, it's still in my mind dead. Like it's hit its bull market top. I don't see any further strength out of it. But when we've had down weeks or down days, it's been down the most. And then when we've had bounce backs, it's been, you know, it rips back the hardest as well. So last week was tough because, you know, we were expecting a bounce. We talked about getting a bounce, and you know, we did. We got a small one in the Dow and S&P, but we got those were about 0.5% each. and we got 2.5% out of the Russell to the upside. So that was a bit more than I actually expected. But I think the weakness will resume. The relative weakness will resume once we start heading back down in the Russell.
No, I agree with you. Look, you're going to get rallies. You know, one thing that people do not realize, and I think this is the trouble of the markets, is, well, not the trouble, it's actually a benefit to us, but what they don't realize is that markets, even in 2008, in the big sell-out that everybody whines about, there was plenty of opportunities to sell. There was plenty of rallies within there, and we don't go straight down. You know, the only time that I can remember straight down, and I'm not talking about the August 24th, I mean, the only true straight down move in history was on October 19th, 1987. I mean, other than that, there's in every market, even if it's going lower, there have been rallies in there, and there's going to be massive short covering rallies if we do get a trend that starts to head lower. I mean, so I think that's something that we miss often. What do you think?
No, I agree, and I think that, you know, that was what we got in the Russell last week. We got a short covering rally where there was a lot. That was the vicious rally that we've been talking about. I don't think I don't think we've seen anything like that in the S&P and Dow yet. I don't think they're really ready to do that. I think this week we're probably going to get. We might get a little bit more upside, but then I think, at least in the Dow, I have a target that's slightly higher. It's in around 20,700. The problem is that it's declining very rapidly. So by the end of the week, it will actually be lower than where we closed this past Friday. So it depends on timing when we, you know, might bounce up to it. But I'm still looking for more downside. So this is, you know, as you're saying, you know, you get opportunities to sell into strength, into bounces. This is probably a good one to sell into.
I agree with that. I mean, again, look, we don't predict, you and I don't predict massive catastrophes. We know that the markets work on levels and they work at points. And again, I don't think the Dow or the S&P have actually made a significant down move yet to even think about. So I'm not even expecting a vicious rally there because they haven't really gone down. There hasn't been enough reason for people to get overly short in this market yet, other than, we talk about the commercials every week. But have you heard of this guy, 50 Cent? Have you heard
of
him? Now, I guess he bought another 100,000 50 Cent options, call options in May for the VIX. The VIX. What do you think of that? Do you take anything away from a guy like that who's losing about, I think his fund's down about 8.9 million or 87. I can't remember the number. It's a big number he's losing, obviously, because he keeps trying to buy volatility at 50 cents. But what do you think of that?
The options are always difficult if you're just buying because you're going to experience time decay. So if it doesn't get the right timing on it, it's a problem. The market makers, however, in VIX options are betting against him. I mean, they're pricing VIX puts twice. They're twice as more expensive than VIX calls right now, which is a little bit of a concern for a bear because they're basically saying volatility is overpriced. But as we've been talking about for months, volatility was underpriced. And it stayed that way for a long time. So just because, when we had and the discrepancy between calls and puts for the past few months has been, sometimes been 10, 20, 30 times more expensive for calls, for VIX calls than puts. Now puts are twice as expensive as calls. They could get, that could go a lot higher. So what I'm trying to say is, it might work off for that guy, but it might not. But there's definitely – I think there's one more leg higher in volatility. And even though the market makers are going the other way, pricing can get even more wild to skewed towards puts.
Right. Well, I mean, again, that one of the things we know is that, if you're creating a position – then things like that can happen. Now, what is the commercials looking like in the VIX and in some of the other indexes mm-hmm. right now?
Well, they did take off a lot. They took off about 16,000 contracts of their long position, so that is a little bit of a concern too. But they still have almost 80,000 contracts long, which is still plenty of motivation for them to see higher volatility. If it just collapses now, then they got up at their max point. They were up to about 120,000 contracts long. So at 80,000, they are two-thirds of their long position. So if we just see a collapse back down in volatility, they're going to take a pretty good hit. I imagine that the commercials want to see higher volatility still. They have still plenty of motivation for that to happen. And if they have anything to say about it, we will. But we'll see. We'll, you know, when we get down to lower levels, if we get below 50,000, then I'm going to start, you know, thinking, okay, we're getting close to a top in volatility.
And so, now again, I think that the charts look like they're holding up well. So, again, you know, obviously I can't say for sure, but certainly I would look that volatility would look to go higher. In fact, I was kind of unhappy when we had those big spikes. I mean, obviously I'd rather see, and I think you'd rather see volatility climb up versus spike up, because the spike up usually indicates that it's going to immediately start to reverse and go back the other way. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I agree. I'd like to see climbing volatility slowly as well. It just was signify what we want to see in the stock market as well, which is I don't really want to see necessarily a plunge. I'd be okay with it, but yeah, I agree.
No, I mean, again, it's one of the things that we have to look at, because again, markets don't announce themselves. And now I know you put no stock into the news that's in the market, and I believe it's pretty much already priced in. Did you take anything away though from the rally that Mnuchin and Trump created? Because it looked like the markets were going to sell off on Friday, which would have been for good reason, just in front of the French elections. And of course, do you see any reason for that rally? Did that rally disturb you at all, or was it something you might have expected?
It didn't really disturb me. I mean, we did start at the very, you know, late in the day on Friday, we started to see a pullback in S&P and Dow, but the news doesn't, you know, news one day is, you know, reverses yet the next day. I mean, we'll see if they can actually put together a tax plan the way they believe they can. I mean, from what I've been hearing, you know, tax will be a harder issue than even possibly healthcare. So, you know, I'm not putting a lot of stock into what they believe they can get accomplished. I mean, their Congress, you know, the Democrats are going to fight them as hard as possible.
Well,
I mean,
and his own Republicans aren't actually helping.
Yeah.
And I don't think, I think he'll get it done, but he ain't getting it done this year. And everybody's pricing in, is it to be this year? And I think there's a bigger mess. And that's, of course, why we want to drain the swamp. But anyway, in the meantime, this is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert on technical analysis. Make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm and download The Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. And, of course, don't forget Bubba's Bottom Line, the new hit sensation. Check it out at BubbaTrading.com. We're going to step out here for a break and be back with more with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, at the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz, coming right back. Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with Matt Demeter, DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show expert of technical analysis. And Matt, you've been pretty much on top of the markets, about as good as anybody could possibly be. And yeah, I know. I see a lot of your daily, you know, short term calls, and you know, pretty much spot on in the markets. But I do want to talk to you about oil. I think that, you know, again, I felt that oil was well overvalued, and I still think it is. I think you have too many people trying to, kind of like with the taxes and the regular markets, you have people trying to play this OPEC, which I think is dumb. In my own personal opinion, I think that oil is going lower. And again, we may see a bounce up here, but, you know, we broke 50 again. And you know, I think we're going, you know, significantly lower. You know, I mean, my objective or target is in the 40, at 40. Now, again, I think we'll hit 47 first and probably bounce. But I think over when it's all done, I think we hit 40. What do you think?
I think that's probably, I have a target at 44, but I think, you know, we're going down. I agree. We've, you know, the rally that we had up prior to this past week closed the gap that we had, the gap down that we had on March 8th, I believe. Anyway, so that closed, that made sense. And then from there, just sold off again. I'm looking for either the roughly 47-ish area or 44 support levels, and I wouldn't be willing to buy unless we got to 44. So I'm with you. I'm bearish on oil. I'm long-term bearish on oil. I think eventually we're going to see, you know, much lower levels. I think that's going to take some time. I think we'll be stuck between low to mid 40s and mid to high 50s for a while longer, like perhaps, you know, another most of the rest of this year. But, you know, if support breaks at 44 or if we even go below 40, yeah, I think we could go a lot lower. But where I'm seeing support right now is 44. So that's where we'd consider going long. If we broke below, then we'd stop out.
Okay. And again, I get that. I think it makes a lot of sense. And I think that we're going to see lower prices. I mean, you know, again, you and I are not fundamental guys, but from a fundamental standpoint, there's no reason for oil to be where it's at right now. So certainly from a technical standpoint, it doesn't look like it either. But you know, gold has been kind of perplexing, and you know, I know you're a long term bull, a gold bull, but you were looking for a little bit of a sell off here. I mean, you've been calling the interim levels here, but now is the bear market over in gold now, or are you still looking for a one more leg down?
Still looking for one more leg down. I am long term a gold bull and silver bull. Silver in particular, I think, has much higher to go than gold does. But it's overbought right now. The daily indicators are overbought. The weekly indicators are relatively overbought as well. So just from that perspective, just on a relative basis, I think gold should pull back. The commercials have been shorting into all strength that they get a chance to sell into. They've now reached a new record short position in silver, highest ever again. That dynamic's changing a little bit because there are some, you know, they typically play with the managed money traders, and most of them are technical traders who are just using most of the time just the 50 and 200 day moving averages. So they like to game those traders. However, there's a non-technical core position of speculators are buying and not selling in silver. So it's becoming an interesting battle there. But to sort of just answer your question, I think gold is up near resistance. It's overbought on indicators, and commercials are selling heavily into it. We've already seen silver get knocked down pretty hard when it was, you know, had the exact same conditions. And so I think gold is next. How deep we fall on this sell off, you know, that remains up in the air, but I actually think it will be pretty deep. So yeah, probably $100 or more.
Okay. No, again, I've been looking for the same thing you've been looking for, but yet it continues to kind of hold. And I think there's some other issues that may have be having an effect here. And I think that, you know, there is, I think, some concern as we see a lot of these smaller communities go cashless. And of course, the issues in Venezuela, you know, because I think a lot of these socialist countries are going to start to break down. But, you know, who knows? Now, as we look into the livestock markets, you know, you've been a little bit bullish cattle, and cattle is now live cattle or fat cattle, which I know we don't differentiate when we're doing it together, but is now up 12 days in a row. And of course, it doesn't look like a great up move for 12 days, but in the meantime, it's still up. So you can't say that it's not going up. What are your thoughts in the livestock markets?
Well, I thought, you know, I had a modest opinion that cattle would go higher. I wasn't, you know, dead set that would be the case, but I thought probably we'd get relative strength out of cattle and relative weakness out of hogs. It's pretty much what we've had. I think that could be close to reversing. I think cattle's now overbought, and I think it's ready to maybe not immediately ready to sell off, but it's getting up close to target resistance for me, which is not much higher, probably another 2-3%, and then I think it should be pulling back. Hogs, I think maybe the reverse. I think hogs might have a little bit more downside, like in the same ballpark, 2-3%, and I think it will reverse up. I think as a group, when I look at, I always go back to that ETF cow because it makes my life easier as far as charting goes, just because it takes all the roll issues out and smooths them over time. Cow looks to me like it wants to bottom around the $22 area and then run up to about 25. So for the group, that would mean about another, 15% move to the upside.
right. So we can see that. And so now, you know, we've talked about the grains, and, you know, you and I are both kind of bullish wheat, and wheat got absolutely clobbered last week. And,
yeah.
And of course, if I look at it, I go, okay, so wheat kind of broke down and maybe made a blow off to the downside. Soybeans continue to rotate around that 940, 950 level, and corn, although sold off and kind of held some support. And I know longer term, you're bearish beans and corn and like wheat. What's your take now as the way the charts look?
So we did not break. I mean, it was really weak, but it didn't break where I see support. Where it bottomed about 5 or 6 months ago was a good bottom, I felt, and it's held for a while. If it breaks, then okay, different story. Then we're gonna, you know, open up whole new, you know, places where it can go down. But so far it's held, so I'm gonna stay relatively bullish wheat. Corn, I still think it's got more weakness ahead of it. Significantly more weakness. I'm looking at weekly RSI, for example. It's we've been chopping sideways. It's neutral. It gives a lot of room to the downside. Doesn't necessarily have to happen, but I'm seeing price support lower. Same thing with soybeans. Same issue with soybeans. The only thing about that is soybeans got to a level that is sort of it's a support level that actually could create a pretty strong bounce. So I wouldn't be short here in soybeans, but we could get a very strong rally. But in the longer term, I still think they're headed lower.
Okay, I mean, I could see that. Of course, you know, that's you're charting that way, and I'm looking. You know, me, I'm a long term calculator. For me, might be 5 minutes. So, you know, so now as we look at the dollar has now once again come below the buck, and looks to be headed lower. Are we still headed for that 94 target or so? Or what's your view on the dollar?
Yeah, that's a rising target, and it's now at about 95.35, something like that. So, you know, it just depends on how long it takes to get there. We are on support right now, rising support that I think is right around 99. I don't have the chart in front of me, but we were short from 101. We covered in the 99s, and now we're just waiting to see if it will break the support it's on right now. If it gets below 99, then I think there's really nothing. There's no support between 99 and that next level at mid 95s.
And that'll do it. That is my guy, Matt Demeter from DemeterResearch.com, the Bubba Show technical expert, and always brings us up. Matt, thanks so much. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Todd. It's always great to be here.
This is great to have you. You're spot on the markets, and this is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We're gonna call it a day. In the meantime, go to BubbaTrading.com and check out the Bubba's Bottom Line, as well as LibertyTalk.fm, and download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge on the weekends. That'll do it for today. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Every day, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow. Thanks.
Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.